congregation today, knowing that many are going through difficult times. Lord, I pray that the power of your Holy Spirit would be made evident today, that we would see in you a Savior who truly cares, who truly loves, that we would trust in you with all of our heart, not leaning upon our own understanding, but leaning upon the gifts that you've given to us. And today specifically, we thank you for the gift of your word. I pray that your word would go forth today, and that you would remind us that your word is not only for 1 hour a week, but your word is a gift given to us every day. So Lord, may we be a people who are committed, devoted to your word, and shaped and fashioned through the Holy Spirit working through your word. It's all to your glory and your honor today. So Lord, I pray that my words would bring glory to you. And I pray that you would guard my tongue, that everything that I say would be in accordance with the truth of who you are and of what you have revealed. In Jesus' name we pray. And all of God's children say, amen. Amen. You may be seated. Today we have an Old Testament reading. It comes from Joshua chapter 1. And I want you to notice the importance of God's word. In this passage, the word is referred to as the law. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' aide, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now then, you and all these people get ready to cross the Jordan River into the land that I am about to give to them, to the Israelites. I will give you every place where you set your foot, as I promised Moses. Your territory will extend from the desert of Lebanon and from the great river, the Euphrates, all the Hittite country, to the Mediterranean Sea in the west. No one was able to stand against you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, I will be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and courageous, because you will lead these people to inherit the land I swore to their ancestors to give to them. Be strong, he says to Joshua, and very courageous. Listen, be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. Keep this book of the law always on your lips. Meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. Here ends the reading of God's word. Next lesson today is taken from 2 Timothy, the 3rd chapter, beginning with the 10th verse. And here again, once again, look for a reference to the Bible, to the scripture, to God's word in this. You, however, know all about my teaching, my way of life, my purpose, faith, patience, love, endurance, persecutions, sufferings, what kinds of things happened to me in Antioch, Iconium, and Lystra, the persecutions I endured. Yet the Lord rescued me from all of them. In fact, everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted, while evildoers and imposters will go from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. But as for you, continue in what you have learned and have become convinced of, because you know those from whom you learned it, and how from infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. Please rise for the reading of our gospel lesson today, taken from the 17th chapter of St. John's Gospel. I have revealed you to those whom you gave me. And again, this is Jesus. He is speaking here. He's actually praying. We call this the high priestly prayer. This is the prayer that Jesus prayed before he went to the cross. Before he went to the cross to suffer for your sin and for my sin. And listen to what he prays for. Verse 6 of John chapter 17. I have revealed you to those whom you gave me out of the world. They were yours, You gave them to me, and they have obeyed your word. Now they know that everything you have given me comes from you. For I gave them the words you gave me, and they accepted them. They knew with certainty that I came from you, and they believed that you sent me. I pray for them. I am not praying for the world, but for those you have given me, for they are yours. All I have is yours, and all you have is mine. And glory has come to me through them. I will remain in the world no longer. You see, Jesus was to go to the cross and then to the grave, and then he was to rise, and then eventually, 40 days later, to ascend to the right hand of God the Father. But they are still in the world, and I am coming to you. Holy Father, protect them by the power of your name, the name you gave me, so that they may be one as we are one. While I was still with them, I protected them and kept them safe by that name you gave me. None has been lost except the one doomed to destruction, and that's Judas, so that the scripture would be fulfilled. I am coming to you now, but I say these things while I'm still in the world, so that they may have the full measure of my joy within them. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them, for they are not of the world any more than I am of the world. My prayer is not that you take them out of the world, but that you protect them from the evil one. They are not of the world, even as I am not of it. Verse 17, sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, I have sent them into the world. For them, I sanctify myself, that they too may be truly sanctified. This is the gospel of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. You may be seated. The vision of Maple Park Church is that we would be a church that follows what Jesus has commanded us to do. Before Jesus ascended to the right hand of God the Father Almighty, some 40 days after his resurrection, just before he ascended back into heaven, he gave what we call the Great Commission, which is the great task of the church. And we call the Great Commission the Great Commission because this is the commission. These are the orders, the marching orders, which Jesus has given to us. And the Great Commission is that we would go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded. And he says, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. So the great task, the great commission of the church is that we would go and make disciples. And Jesus actually in the Great Commission revealed to us how we make disciples. We make disciples by baptizing. That is to bring them into a right relationship with God through holy baptism. And that we would baptize them and then teach them to obey everything that I have commanded you. So as a goal that we have as a congregation is to make disciples. And here we have the wheel illustration from the Navigators. And I believe that this wheel illustration is just an easy to remember tool for us. It's not a program. It's not something that you have to spend more time doing here at church. It's not something where you have to come to church on a weekly basis necessarily in order to do this thing. This is a way of life. These are the basic components of discipleship, of what it means to live daily as a disciple of Jesus Christ. And within this wheel illustration, we have Christ at the center. And this is why I love this illustration so much, is because it puts Jesus right where he belongs. He is the hub, and he ought to be the center of your life. And we know that everything that we need comes from him. Without Christ, we have nothing. Without Christ, we have no power to live as his disciples, nor do we have any power to make disciples. So Christ needs to be at the center of our lives. From him comes life and strength, grace, and love. And then we see the rem is the obedient Christian in action, that we are to obey everything that Christ has called us to do. But there is no way that we can obey Christ unless Christ is the one at the center of our lives. There's no way that we can obey him in thought, word, or deed unless Christ is there at the center, giving us daily the grace and the strength, the motivation that we need to live the life that we've been called to live. So Christ is at the center. The rim, we've gone over both of these. Christ at the center. Last week we talked about obedience and how our obedience as Christians relates to our salvation. And this week we go to the word spoke. But before I do that, I want to just briefly summarize the various spokes. There are two spokes which are vertical, and this is how we relate to God. The basics of how we live in a right relationship with God on a daily basis is that we're dependent upon him in prayer. To pray is to simply say, Lord, I cannot make it through today without you. I need you, Jesus. And as we develop a prayer life, we grow closer to God. And another part of the vertical dimension of this illustration is the word. And the word is how God speaks to us. The word is how he reveals his will, his plan, and his purpose to us. So in the vertical, we have the word and we have prayer. Developing a relationship with God. And so today we'll talk about the word. But there are horizontal spokes also. And those spokes deal with how we relate to other people. So there's a fellowship spoke, and there's a witnessing one. The fellowship one reminds us that we need to remain in the fellowship of believers. We cannot isolate ourselves from God's people. But we need to gather with other Christians, because in that gathering, God works. And then the witnessing spoke deals with how we relate to an unbelieving world, people who don't know Christ, and that we are to serve as the witnesses of the good news of the gospel to other people. But today we look at the word spoke. John 17:17, Jesus said, sanctify them, that is, make them holy, or set them apart by the truth. Where do we find the truth? He says, your word is truth. Your word is truth. God's word, what a powerful thing. Our physical bodies cannot survive without nourishment. If a person stops eating food, they won't last very long. I probably would go longer than many of you, because I have a lot of reserves on me. But you have to have nourishment in order to survive physically. You need nourishment in order to survive spiritually. If you only ate a meal once a week, eventually you would get ill and sick. Our physical bodies cannot survive without continuing nourishment. And our spiritual lives cannot survive without nourishment. The nourishment that comes from God's word. In Matthew chapter 4, verse 4, Jesus answered, it is written, man shall not live on bread alone. But what? But on every word that comes from the mouth of God. We need physical nourishment for our bodies, and we need spiritual nourishment from our souls. And Jesus says that we live not on bread alone, but on every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. So God has graciously provided for our spiritual nourishment. How? God has given us the gift of his word. His word is life. His word connects us to Jesus. His word delivers what we need to live life today and life everlasting. His word is key. As a congregation, this is what we confess. Our statement of faith. We confess that the Bible, including both Old and New Testament, as originally given, is the verbally and completely inspired Word of God, and is free from error in whole and in part, and is therefore the final authoritative guide for faith and conduct. This congregation has a very high view of Scripture. We believe that the Bible is the Word of God, that it is free of all error, and that it is the final authority. We believe in this thing called inspiration, biblical inspiration. We believe that the Bible is inspired by God. Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 and 2, and I have a number of scriptures for us today. In the past, God spoke to our ancestors through the prophets in many ways and in various ways. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things and through whom also he made the universe. So we see that God speaks to us through the scriptures. And in the scripture, we learn about Christ. And Christ is how we have salvation and life today. 2 Peter 1:20 and 21. Above all, you must understand that no prophecy of Scripture came about by the prophet's own interpretation of things. For prophecy never had its origin in human will. But prophets, though human, spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. So everything that has been written within the Scriptures was inspired by the Holy Spirit to reveal Christ to us, so that we would know Jesus, so that we would know where our salvation is found, and so that we would know where our life today and for eternity is found. So God gave to the prophets everything that they were to write within the Old Testament, into the apostles and the evangelists in the New Testament. God gave them the words, and that's what inspiration is all about, biblical inspiration. Then in 2 Peter 3:15 and 16, Paul also wrote you with the wisdom that comes that God gave him. He writes the same way in all his letters, speaking of them of these matters. His letters contain some things that are hard to understand, which ignorant and unstable people distort, as they do the other scriptures to their own destruction. Very interesting. Peter, here as he writes to the churches, he refers to Paul's letters as scripture. So we know that not only did he inspire the Old Testament writers, but he inspired the New Testament writers. So we can rely upon both the Old and the New Testament to be God's inspired word. When we open the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, when we read Paul's letters or Peter's letters, when we read what John wrote, we know that it's inspired by the Holy Spirit, that it's a message that comes from God. And to summarize all of these things, what we read from 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17, to summarize this whole topic of biblical inspiration, all scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. Do you want to be equipped as a disciple? You want to follow Jesus? You have that desire in your life? You need God's word. You need God's word. That's what we're talking about today. So we confess that, number one, Scripture is free from error. Number two, we confess that Scripture is the final authority. Scripture ought to settle every dispute, either the principle or the direct teaching of Scripture. And then number three, we confess that Scripture is life-changing. It's not a dead document. It is the very power of God. So think of this. At creation, when God spoke, what happened? The universe came into existence. By the power of his word, he spoke the universe into existence. This is the word of God. When God speaks, it is not only true, it is powerful. So when he makes a promise to you, believe it. Believe that its power is at work within your life. Paul says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel because it is the power of God. It is the power of God that brings salvation to everyone. And then he says this, faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the word about Christ. So you might be asking the question now, how do I read the Bible? Where do I start? How do I begin this journey with God through the scripture? Well, the first thing that I would say is this, find a quiet place and a quiet time. You have a desire to get into God's word, to live as a disciple of Jesus Christ. You have a desire to follow him, to live your life in the way that he wants to live your life. You're going to have to find a quiet place and a quiet time. I don't know if you've noticed it, but our world is a very busy world. And our world is a very noisy world. And sometimes it's difficult to get away from the busyness, from the noise, from the distractions. But we must find a time where we can get away, to find a quiet place and a quiet time with God. I would say this, take a time out. When my kids are disobedient, I'll say, you need to go into time out. And I was thinking one time, man, I'd like to have a time out. That doesn't sound like a punishment to me, that sounds like a gift. You mean the punishment is as I sit by myself quietly? That sounds really nice. Take a time out with God. Take a time out with him. Set aside time each and every day. A place and a time. You might ask, well, Pastor, you don't know what my life is like. I have so many things going on in my life. I have 12 kids and they don't give me any time during the day. My wife has 4 kids and she'd say the same thing. Life is difficult with children. Maybe you have other distractions in your life. So much going on. Well, I remember reading the biography of a famous preacher named Louis Talbot. And Talbot Theological Seminary is named after Louis Talbot. And he remembers growing up, and he had a lot of siblings, and his dad was often away, and so his mom was at home with the kids every day, and he says, we were really bad kids. We were rambunctious. We would always get into mischief. He said that my mom had to, Louis Talbot said that my mom had to lock herself in the closet in order to set aside time to read the word and to pray. She literally had to lock herself in the closet. She literally had a prayer closet in which she was able to sequester herself away from her noisy and rambunctious children. Sometimes you need to get creative. Find a time. Find a place. Read the scripture. For me, sometimes our house is so busy and so noisy that to make a phone call, I have to go sit in my car in order to make a phone call. And maybe that's the same with you too. And Jesus, he really set the example for us in setting aside a time and a place. The scriptures tell us that he would often withdraw and he would go into desolate places and he would pray. And if Jesus had to set aside a time and a place to commune with his heavenly Father, how much more do we need to do that too? Remember Jesus. He is true God in human flesh. He has an advantage. He's true God. None of us can claim to be true God. If Jesus needed time with the Father, how much more do we need time with the Father? So today I want to give you an example of ways or some methods of receiving the Word of God into your life. And the Navigators have given us the wheel illustration, which teach us and gives us a visual, something easy to remember, something that's transferable. We can share this with other people just to remind them of the basics of what discipleship is all about. But they've also given us the word hand, the word hand. And it's an easy to remember tool to highlight five methods of learning from the Bible. And we encourage you to use this tool, the word hand, to remember ways that you can engage in God's word. The first is the pinky. And the pinky represents hearing God's word. It's very important that we hear God's word. In other words, that we come to church and we hear the word of God preached. So the pinky stands for hearing God's word. The scripture says that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of Christ. So hearing is very important. We don't just have this time of preaching and teaching because it's interesting. We do this because we believe that God works through it, that God is doing something through his word as it's preached. So the pinky is, we need to be hearing God's word. But in only hearing, they say that you retain very little of what you hear. So simply just by listening, you're not going to have a whole lot of what you heard memorized, though God works through it. All right? So then there's reading God's word. So we need to be a people who, and I would say read God's word daily. Read God's word daily. Find a reading plan. If you've never read the scriptures before, I recommend that you start with one of the gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John. And then move on from there. But read God's word daily. Because as you read God's word daily, the Holy Spirit does a work in and through you. And then, so the next finger, and then the following finger, the middle finger, is to study the Word of God. When you read the Word of God, you retain probably a little more than you do with hearing the Word, but when you study God's Word, you retain like over 30% of the material when you study it. And so what I would recommend is that you would be involved in some sort of a group. Where people are studying God's Word. We have men's Bible study, which is fantastic, on Tuesday mornings. We have a women's Bible study on Tuesday evenings and Wednesday afternoons. We have lots of other opportunities. We have Sunday school class here on Sunday morning. There's a lot of opportunities where you can gather with other Christians to study God's Word. Because through studying God's Word, the Holy Spirit begins to reveal a whole lot more to you through the study of His Word. And then the index finger is to memorize God's Word. Memorize His Word. Something very interesting about memorizing God's Word is that you remember 100% of what you memorize. Right? You remember 100% of what you memorize. How many of you would say that you have a verse stored in your heart and in your mind that has gotten you through some tough stuff? That's helped you through some difficulties. Yeah. So when we memorize Scripture, we have the tools that we need to make it through life. Church, this is about living, surviving, getting through difficult stuff. And Christ has made so many promises to us. Talk with Paul McClintock. He was involved with Navigators. The Navigators have the topical memory system, which is beautiful. A number of my classmates in seminary use the topical memory system. For example, you struggle with anxiety. The topical memory system has a number of different verses that you can memorize to help you through your anxiety. Very powerful thing. You're struggling with the temptation, a struggle in life. Topical memory system can give you a lot of those different tools, specific verses to memorize as you battle through life. So memorizing scripture is very important. So often when I'm facing a difficulty in life, a verse comes to mind. A promise comes to me from God's word, something that I have memorized. So we hear God's word, we read God's word, we study God's word, and we memorize God's word. And then the thumb, which touches all four others, is to meditate upon God's word. Now, the term meditation, all sorts of things may come into our mind due to the prevalence of Eastern thought within our society. What are you talking about, Pastor, when you talk about meditating? What are you talking about? Well, I'm talking, probably the word that I would associate with that is to pray. Is to pray God's word. To think upon and to contemplate what you have read. And then in response to what you have read, talk to God about it. You see, we really should never run out of things for which we can pray. Because the Bible, from Genesis to Revelation, contains everything that we need to know about what we should be praying about. Things to thank Him for. Things to repent of. Things to ask God's strength to do and to be. So I do have a copy of this word hand illustration on the table for you, so you can take that before you leave today if you didn't take it before you came in. So by making use of God's word, you will be able to discern truth from error. There are so many voices out there, so many books, so many podcasts, so many things on television, internet, radio. What's true? What's false? What plan does God have for me in the midst of all of this? Well, by making use of God's word, you will discern truth from error. You'll know God's truth. By making use of God's word, you'll grow closer to Jesus. You'll know Him more. You'll learn not only what He commands, but also what He's promised to you. What a gift. And then you will be equipped to serve as Jesus' disciples through His word. But the bottom line is that you'll be nourished in your faith by devotion to His word. Jesus said, "Man does not live on bread alone." Are you just living on bread today? Are you eating your meals? Well, good. Taking care of your body, that's great. But are you nourishing your soul? You see, each of these things, for most of us, these are things that we've been taught our whole life. Yeah, we need to be a people who read the word. We need to be a people who pray. We need to be a people in fellowship. We need to be a people who are witnessing to unbelievers. We need to have Christ at the center. We need to live obedient lives. We need all of the different components of this wheel diagram. We've been taught over and over and over again. Well, I hope for you today, if you've been taught this your whole life, my prayer is this would be a reminder to you and an opportunity for you afresh and anew today to recommit yourself, to rededicate your life to living as disciples of Jesus Christ. Church, remember that you cannot live on bread alone. You cannot live alone on what this world has to offer. You need Jesus. You need the truth that comes from His word. And today, the sacraments for us are a visible word. The sacraments are a visible word. The sacrament of baptism is a visible word. It makes God's invisible grace visible to us. Sometimes you just need to put water on your face as you wash your face in the morning. As Martin Luther says, when you wash your face in the morning, remember that you've been baptized. Remember who you are in your baptism. Remember every promise that Christ has made to you in your baptism. And then we need to come forward to the altar to take the bread, to take the wine, to touch it, to taste it, and to know how much Jesus loves you. His body was broken for you. His blood was shed for you. And as we receive the sacraments, we receive afresh and anew the promise of God's grace to us. And it's all to be received in humble childlike faith, not in self-righteousness, not with a holier-than-thou attitude, but with an attitude that says, I come to this altar, I receive the bread, I receive the wine, I receive the promise of Christ because I need Jesus. Without Jesus, I have nothing. Without Jesus, I am nothing. I am lost. And without Jesus, I have no strength to walk out of this place and to live the life that Christ has called me to live as his disciple. Jesus came not to help the self-righteous feel good about their goodness, He came for sinners like you and me who need grace. We need a word that says, I love you. That's the word that's spoken in the sacrament. I love you. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world would be saved through him. In this sacrament, he says, I love you. My body was broken. My blood was shed for you. Come to this altar. Receive these gifts. He says, I forgive you. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. And the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to purify us from all unrighteousness. And as we receive the sacrament, he says, I am with you always. He says, I will never leave you, nor will I forsake you. And sometimes, I don't know about you, but I struggle through life. I have good days for which I'm grateful, but I have hard days too. And without this, I would have nothing. Without him, I would have no strength. Without him, I would have no courage. Without him, I could never live as his disciple. Let us pray together. Lord Jesus, we thank you for your word. We thank you that we have opportunity to come to this altar today to receive from you all that you've promised, all that you have given to us. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for your grace and for your mercy.